Good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. We are Jay and Julie Ellis, and most of you don't know us, but we want to show you a little slide presentation this morning to show you who we are and what we've done. And it was Mr. Jerry Dorenzo invited us to speak this morning, and really our message is one that all the parts of the body are needed to accomplish God's task in the world. So we want to share first who we are and where we've been.
Back there, if you want to see.
Can you see it? Okay. Yeah. I worked for 8 years here in Columbia at what was then called Wachovia Bank, which no longer. It's now Wells Fargo. And Julie worked at USC teaching ESL to international students. Actually, many years ago, I was at my home church here in Columbia at our own church's missions conference. When it was given the challenge that those that want to give their life to the Lord to come forward, and I went forward at our own missions conference and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." And to show you that God is not limited by place or circumstances, Julie actually became a Christian. Oh, wow, it's so dark up there.
Look back there if you want to see us.
Yeah, that's actually a better picture in the back than in the front. But Julie was actually saved when she did a study abroad in Paris. So she left the Bible Belt and went to Paris and became a Christian. And also, it was at the same time that when she was became a Christian where she sensed the call to missions. And she also said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." In 1994, our small family with just our son of 18 months, we moved to Japan with Asian Access. And after language study, we formed a team with a Japanese church to start a new church. And Kohitsuji Chapel, so the Lamb Chapel, is still in existence today. We helped form a team, and the Lamb Chapel is still going today. And then afterwards, they asked me to become our director of operations in Japan. And since I had the banking background, I became our director of operations in Japan. And really, it was once I was in that role, I learned that God has made me an administrator and a manager. And I say that's by the grace of God. And that's kind of set the course of my life from there on. In 2002, we left Japan. And we joined Wycliffe Bible Translators. I think many of you are familiar with Wycliffe because you from Dennis and Sandy and also Kathy and David Miller that you support through your work. And then really for 8 years we lived in Germany. And that's where we met the Dorenzos. And they was our teachers for our kids. And for the 8 years that I was in Germany, I was primarily involved in the financial support of our translation projects in Eurasia. We came back in 2013. I joined the Seed Company, which is part of the Wycliffe umbrella of organizations, and I've continued my work with the financial, any area to do with finances of translation projects around the world. Here is the mission statement of the Seed Company: to accelerate scripture translation and impact for people without God's word through Great Commission partnerships. Now, let me tell you now what my role is with the Seed Company. I just recently, this month, became a field coordinator. And let me explain what that is. Many of you know David and Kathy Miller. Okay, so let me use them as an example. They are the representative of working in the field. So they are the ones that work with translation partners in the field in Eurasia. Okay. Now, I'm with the Seed Company, and I'm the bridge. I'm the face of the Seed Company to people like David and Kathy Miller. Okay, let me tell you a couple things I do. So I'll work with people like David and Kathy in Eurasia, helping them do project design as they plan their translation project and also turn those plans into the budget. I'll help to be a problem solver. Let me give you an example of that. One of our translation projects in a country near where David and Kathy work, we saw on their report that they weren't getting any work done. And we're like, "What's the problem? Well, you didn't do any work this last quarter." Say, "Well, we have a lot of power outages. And we our computers don't have the battery life, and we just can't work." And we're like, "Well, if you had a generator, would that help you get your work?" "Yes, absolutely. But we can't afford it." So we said, "Yeah, we will buy you a generator. If that's the only thing holding you back, we want you to have the tools that you need to do your job." So that's just one of the examples of ways that we can help bring resources and help solve problems to kind of break log jams that might hold back a translation project. Another example is of things that I'll be doing is bringing in additional partners when it's needed. Let me give you an example of that. In the former Soviet Union, one of our main partners, they're one of these, we just translate the Bible. We don't worry. We'll worry about having it used when it gets done. And one of our core values is we want Scripture to be used right from the beginning, not as an end product afterwards, but right from the beginning. So what we did is we found a church planner that was working with that people group, and we brought him in because he said, oh, we would really like this. So working in our church plant, we could really use these Scriptures. Will you translate that? So we brought in an additional partner of a church planner who could use Scripture use right from day one in the project to make it a more effective project. Another thing we do is conflict resolution. Believe it or not, there's often conflicts in projects
so.
around the world. We can help to be an answer to some of those problems. And also project monitoring. One of the key values of the seed company is managing for quality results. So we kind of help to ensure that our projects are going like they're planned. Another big thing I'll bring to the table is just to provide resources. Of course, the seed company provides funds to David and Kathy and projects like that. We provide prayer. We're really a link between the investors and the prayer partners and those in the field. We go out and actively recruit prayer partners. We bring expertise. Perhaps they need consultant help or exegetical help. Maybe they need computer help. We'll provide those expertise. And just missing ingredients. Sometimes a project is just missing a laptop or two. We can provide those resources for them so that the project can move forward. And really, overall, my job is to stand in the gap between the field partner, those that are doing the translation in the field, and the investors, people like yourself that are giving and praying, linking those two together to have an effective project.
So speaking of Operation Christmas Child, this was us after we went out and got our boxes. I love your idea of personalizing your boxes to Madagascar. Okay, so just a little bit about us. As Jay said, I worked at USC for 5 years before we were church planners. I worked in the English program for internationals, so I love teaching ESL, and God has used that and woven that in our ministries all these years. Now we're up in Charlotte, and needing additional income, I was motivated to go back to teaching ESL, and so I am teaching 4 Ethiopian students 4 different times. They are adopted by American families, and they're late adoption, so they need a lot of academic support in English. But not just English, it's such an exciting ministry. This student here, Rahwa, she's been here 4 years. She's just now beginning to have the courage to tell her story of being an orphan, of both her parents dying, and then being adopted in God's forever family. Her story is a spiritual one. And she loves God, and I help her with biology and English, but really I'm discipling her. Her heart is wide open, and we talk about things every day. And now I'm going to be really very transparent. We're transparent people. These last 3 years since we moved back from Germany, we've lived in a wilderness. And not only a wilderness, you know, there's silence, we pray, but silence and just not knowing what to do, just trying to figure things out. And then after this wilderness time, we entered into this turbulent time where just all these things were happening. And what I learned was, being an English teacher, I realized I had a choice. That I could fill in the blanks with people's actual names and actual circumstances, that so-and-so meant it for whatever, comma, what comes after that, but God meant it for our good. And so we have been choosing to live on the right side of that phrase, and guess what? We have seen God's goodness. This turbulent time dumped us into this townhouse. We really didn't choose to live there, just circumstances. So we go out meeting neighbors, they're friendly, 2 doors down. I meet 2 kids, I'm like, oh, where are you from? Aleppo, Syria. I'm like, I was so excited. And I had to hold back my excitement so I didn't like freak them out, because that's a little weird too. But they are Armenian Orthodox Christians, so they're secular, and actually they're mostly just secular in their beliefs. But there's a Christian background there. And so we just spend time with them all the time now. And just Friday, I had a little English club that I started with a 2-year-old all the way up to a 70-year-old in the room. Very challenging. And one of the sons, who was a pediatrician in Aleppo just a month ago, now he's nothing, I mean, career-wise, he says, "Could you help us find a church?" I'm like, okay. So God has brought the world to us, Ethiopians, Syrians, and it is very exciting, because so-and-so meant it for whatever, and am I going to live there? It's not worth the time. But God meant it for our good, and so we're seeing that over and over. Also, dumping out into this new neighborhood, the church we went to is a little bit too far away, so we found a church. It's a church plant, and God is working there beautifully, and so we're part of that community. I'm very excited about it, because we feel like God is putting new wine in new wineskins, and it's just exciting. Women's ministries. I wasn't thinking what that meant, but I love to pray, and I'm involved in several prayer groups as well, and outreaches and things like that. Okay, now on to the kids. So Josh, there he is. That's his white coat ceremony. He is in his first year of medical school at UNC Chapel Hill. And that is Josh and the Pacific Ocean. After taking a gap year, he biked from Charleston, South Carolina, all the way to Santa Cruz, California, literally, with Bike and Build, building affordable houses with Habitat for Humanity. So they bike, build, all the way across, and phenomenal. Then we have Jenny, and Jenny is a senior at UNC Wilmington, and she's in nursing school, and she's just been to Urbana. She's taking perspectives class, and she's passionately pursuing God and what her role in missions will be. Then Jessie is our youngest, and she too is in nursing school at UNC Wilmington. We have a huge prayer request for Jessie. She went to Togo this past summer, and it was a great ministry, but she came home with an unwelcomed guest, and she has a parasite. And she went to Duke and got testing and medicine testing. They couldn't find anything, and God healed her. But recently, it seems like maybe there's a recurrence in the back of her leg. We have an appointment tomorrow at Duke again. So I was like, we prayed for healing, but there must have been remission prayers. Now we're praying eradication. I like that word. We are praying for total eradication of this parasite and healing. So please join us in prayer. The wildest thing happened this summer. One day in June, we realized that all five of us were on five different continents of the world. So that's me in Waxaw, woohoo! And Jay was in Brussels, Jesse in Togo, Josh in Chile, and Jenny in Southeast Asia. So it was just really fun. It's fun to see. But God means these things for our good and for his glory and purposes.
Okay, I want to close with this picture. I really like this because in the world of Bible translation, we often think about the people at the top. Those are the translators, right? That's the ones we think about for Bible translation. But, you know, for every translator, there's probably 400 or 500 people behind the scenes, including people like yourself that are undergirding and supporting the whole work. It's not done alone. There's no one person who does it all. Really, in any ministry, even thinking about this church, it's not the pastor. You know, you just look around, the number of people involved to get this church to work properly. So I really like this picture, because it's showing not only are there the Bible translators that we normally think about, but there's the technical assistants, the computer people, the trainers, the language helpers. But then undergirding all of that are the prayer partners and those that give, that allow translators to be there on the field. And you all, many of you are these undergirders that are undergirding people like David and Kathy to allow them to do the work there. And I just wanted to close with the scripture. We've talked a lot about last night and this morning about just all the parts of the body that are needed. And it's a real joy from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 22. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seemed weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. In verse 27, all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. So it's really good news to be a part of the body of Christ. And we praise God that all of us here in this room can be a part of what God is doing around the world.